You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. It happens to all of us. Right before an important presentation, the printer runs out of ink. Brother Inkvestment Tank Printers help put a stop to this and can literally change the way you ink. With your choice of 1 or 2 years of ink included in box, Inkvestment Tank helps eliminate the expense and hassle of frequently buying and replacing ink cartridges. Learn more at changethewayyouink.com. And now, enjoy the podcast. Hi, I'm Ben Mathis. Welcome to Kick-Ass News. Rarely do you hear a person, much less a man, utter the phrase, "Women are the weaker sex." Not only is that old axiom sexist and outdated, but it's also just not true. Today, women are actually exceeding men in success, education, health, and happiness. It's a powerful example of just how far women have come, but for some, it's also an indicator of just how far men have fallen. No less than 70 different metrics point to worrying trends among males. For instance, education data show that boys are 50% less likely than girls to meet basic proficiency in reading, math, and science. Suicide rates among young men are now 6 times that of young women. Boys are growing up with less involved fathers and more likely to drop out of school, drink, do drugs, become delinquent, and end up in prison. And today's guests warn that our young men are in alarming distress, and the effects of it will follow them into adulthood and ripple through society, impacting women and children as well. Dr. Warren Farrell and Dr. John Gray call attention to the problem in their new book, The Boy Crisis: Why Our Boys Are Struggling and What We Can Do About It. You know Warren Farrell from his best-selling books Why Men Are the Way They Are and The Myth of Male Power, and John Gray from his number one bestseller Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, and other Mars and Venus books. On today's podcast, they say the boy crisis is largely the result of a crisis among fathers, who are either no longer around to be a role model to their sons or suffer from a purpose void in which they see their traditional roles being diminished. They reveal how moms and dads parent differently, and the essential lessons and examples that fathers give boys, including the crucial establishment of boundaries. They reveal how the lack of boundaries can lead to ADD and ADHD in young men, and suggest that parents of children with ADD might want to try to treat the root cause before resorting to drugs. They talk about the difficulty they've had getting lawmakers to take the boy crisis seriously and offer some recommendations for how the government and our schools can help address the problem. Plus, the importance of roughhousing with your kids. Coming up with Drs. Warren Farrell and John Gray in just a moment. Dr. Warren Farrell is the author of the best-selling books Why Men Are the Way They Are and The Myth of Male Power, and he's currently the chair of the Commission to Create a White House Council on Boys and Men. And Dr. John Gray is the author of the number one best-selling book Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, as well as his more recent bestsellers including Mars and Venus in the Bedroom, Mars and Venus Collide, and Work With Me. Now the two of them collaborate to raise awareness of the problems facing young men today and offer some solutions in a new book titled The Boy Crisis: Why Boys Are Struggling and What We Can Do About It. Dr. Warren Farrell and Dr. John Gray, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, I understand that your partnering on this book came from a conversation that the two of you have had on many long walks in the forest, huh? What were you discussing on these philosophical hikes of yours?
Well, there were about 400 walks, yes, over a period of about 10 years. And so, yeah, John, and you know, is very well known for helping people understand the biological differences between men and women and how they manifest in everyday life. And I'm sort of more focused on the types of things that men and women can do to change, to adapt to what I consider a more functional life. And so his focus tends to be helping men and women have empathy for each other and compassion for each other. And mine tends to be more focused on, you know, what was functional in the past and what will be functional in the future. At least that would be my interpretation. John, what would you say?
Yeah, so we talk about that. We're both experts in gender differences, but then we focused on boys. What we see so much good awareness on the women's challenges. You know, anybody who's read my books know that I'm very pro-women and pro-men. And what happens is we hear a lot of the challenges girls have, women have, and there's great work been done. But it often overlooked is the challenges that boys are going through now. And it's quite an eye-opener to hear the statistics, which this book is filled with statistics. Warren's an excellent researcher on statistics.
Yeah, Warren cited a laundry list of metrics by which boys and men today are much worse off than girls and women. Can you walk us through a few of the most important ones?
The children raised with minimal or no father involvement are likely to do worse in about 70 different areas. Most of those areas, I mean, it's just amazing, like the drug overdose that is the opioid crisis and the boys dying of such a high percentage rate that has never happened before has led to male life expectancy actually going down as the first time in recorded history that anyone's life expectancy has gone down in a given generation. Then I started looking at, you know, the suicide rates and saw that, you know, the suicide rates of boys and girls when they're 9 are equal and very minimal. Between 10 and 14, the boys' suicide rates are twice that of girls. Between 15 and 19, 4 times that of girls. And between 20 and 25, more than 5 times that of girls. I looked at the mass shooters and saw that the mass shooters were, you know, there's a lot of causes for mass shootings, but there are boys that are doing the shootings, not girls. But then they're not only boys, they were dad-deprived boys. And so I started looking at ISIS recruits and seeing that almost all the ISIS recruits were either dad-deprived boys or the much smaller percentage were dad-deprived girls. Then looked at the 93% male prison population and saw that more than 90% of those males were dad-deprived males. And I started beginning to see a pattern.
And is the boy crisis just an American problem, or is it a global crisis?
One of the things that really struck me was looking at that all 63 developed nations, boys were falling behind girls in every single academic subject, but especially in reading and writing. And as you probably know, reading and writing are the two biggest predictors of success. That in all these developed nations, there were divorces, there was more permission in developed nations for divorces, and more permission for women to have children without being married or without being involved with a man. And it was in that group of families where the boys were growing up without a dad involvement of any significance. Those were the boys that were having problems with obesity, with drug overdosing, and they were creating the problem that, you know, that Jerome Powell just put on the record last Sunday. That there is a boy crisis. When he was being interviewed on 60 Minutes, saying that the single biggest economic challenge we will have, in addition to cyber warfare, will be the our boys being underemployed, our boys not being prepared, our boys not being motivated.
And Warren, you've written extensively about the problems facing adult males in modern society. How many of those go back to issues that could have been addressed or even prevented when they were boys?
Well, a lot of them do, and this really brings you. You're putting your finger on a very important point. In the old days, in the past, our training for boys was to be a warrior, to be willing to be disposable, disposable in war or disposable in the hazardous jobs in the workplace. And so boys that did, you know, they were famous warriors that, you know, that died to save somebody else, they were subject to the social bribe of being called a hero. But a hero is training for a short life. But many parents now want their sons to be trained for a healthy life, a long life, with emotional intelligence and health intelligence. And so there's this transition that we need to make from heroic intelligence, or training for a short life, versus health intelligence, which is training for a long life and emotional skills. And so boys, to be able to be willing to die, you had to keep any feelings to yourself. And keeping feelings to yourself was very functional for being willing to, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, not when the going gets tough, the tough go to a therapist. And so that was helpful for being willing to die, but it wasn't helpful for keeping the boy aware of what was hurting him and bothering him, and being able to express it and express his vulnerability, lest he look like less than a man. And so this is the dilemma that parents around family dinner nights need to be discussing. They need to be discovering who their son is, what their unique self is, and whether that unique self is better prepared to be a hero by choice, as opposed to social bribe of wanting to be thought of as a hero. And then also, what's the balance between that and wanting to keep himself safe?
And I wonder if the outdated reliance on this heroic intelligence is also part of the reason for what you call a purpose void today, where men see their traditional roles being diminished. And how does that affect their role as fathers?
You know, the purpose void is, the old senses of purpose was, I can be a warrior and be a hero and be, everybody will respect me, or right, I can be the sole breadwinner and do really well and everybody will respect me. And so you saw boys not doing very well in school until about 11th grade. Then they realized they needed to get their act together and they would fulfill one of those senses of purpose, and then they would be attractive to females and be able to be fathers and have children and follow the normal pattern. And so, but nowadays, when there's less need for boys to die in war and less need for boys to be sole breadwinners, because women are sharing that burden to a greater degree, boys, the good news is that boys are free to be more of their unique self, be more of who they are. The bad news is that many boys, especially boys without fathers, are experiencing a purpose void. And so when you have this purpose void combined with a dad void, many boys don't feel the father guidance to help them first discover who they are, and then secondly, help them understand that if you choose a fulfilling occupation like being a musician, you'd better darn well have an enormous amount of discipline to be a successful musician, because only maybe 0.1% of musicians become successful enough to be able to contribute successfully to a family financially.
In terms of, for lack of a better word, repurposing fathers to address changing needs, do we also need to think about that in terms of the relationship between husbands and wives?
One of the new purposes of a male is how to provide a kind of emotional fulfillment in the family, and particularly for women, how to be there not just as a moneymaker, you know, hard worker, but also to share that responsibility with the woman, but take it to a higher level, which people today want. They want an emotionally fulfilling, often they say passionate relationship. But that takes new skills, new insights, which we explore as well. So what it looks like on a practical level for a little boy growing up is dad has this way of being and interacting that really mom appreciates and mom upholds as so important. Dad is here, and what a gift he is to her. You know, I got to see that as a little boy growing up, so it gave me this confidence that, you know, I have what it takes to make a relationship work. So at those times when the relationship's not working, it's kind of like, okay, back to the drawing board, figure out how to do this. Dad did it, so I can do it. So there's so many messages that couples used to provide for their children when they had successful relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's just missing today, and it's a very important part for us to keep the integrity of the family together. If you see that a father can provide a new kind of support for women, which Warren often calls shifting from the role mate to the soul mate, when you provide that new kind of support, a boy goes, okay, well, if a woman doesn't need me for money, she does need me to be there in a committed way as a good communicator, as a good support system where we're mutually interdependent, that can create an opportunity for boys to sustain that motivation to activate this hormone that really only gets produced primarily when you're feeling needed and motivated.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. I was really interested in this relationship between hormone levels and all kinds of outcomes in boys and men. How do those relate?
Men require from 10 to 50 times more testosterone than a woman in order to feel well-being and motivation. So testosterone is a key hormone in men, not as important as women. It's important, but 10 times more to 50 times more to motivate a man, whereas women don't require so much testosterone to be motivated. So we see in all of our research the void in boys in their motivation. Literally, you know, when a house is on fire, everybody knows you're suddenly motivated to run out. That's because you're needed to do something. And boys require a higher level of that feeling needed in order to be motivated. And if you didn't watch your father providing for your mother in that way, you didn't feel the motivation. But we did, because women depended on men as financial providers.
Well, John, nowadays we tend to make fun of or look down on the Tim Allen alpha male idea of what a man is supposed to be. And more often than not, testosterone becomes a pejorative term. Do you think testosterone's getting a bad rap?
When we talk about testosterone, we know males have more testosterone, but more importantly, more boys require more testosterone to have well-being and to behave properly. When a male is aggressive, angry, defensive, argumentative, rebellious, if you measure what's happening in their biology, what you'll see is actually female hormones are increasing and male hormones are going down. And it's the leadership.
Really?
And most people don't know that. They think, oh, you know, testosterone, you know, it causes boys to become dysfunctional, men to become dysfunctional. We think that high testosterone causes violence, indifference.
Right.
And actually, it's not that way at all. Is that when boys have confidence, or men have confidence, either one, or women, what happens is testosterone goes up. And you tend to be more considerate of others, more goal-oriented, more motivated. These are all symptoms of testosterone. But when you lose confidence because you don't have training, you don't have guidance, you don't know what to do, then your testosterone levels turn into estrogen and emotions then motivate you. Negative emotions at that point, insecurities, doubts, anger, irritability, all of that motivates you. But when children are in the presence of particularly a grown man, the role of a man is to maintain cool, calm, and collected, confident, and directed. Life is filled with problems. The role of the father particularly is to maintain an aura, a presence, which says, okay, life has problems. We're going to do something. We're going to solve that problem. And this is such a, you know, Warren does so beautifully talking about all the differences in parenting.
Now, John's point about testosterone is so important because boys, when their testosterone is not channeled well, boys become destructive. When their testosterone is channeled well, boys become some of our greatest contributors and become much more constructive.
And what exactly is it that the father does for children, and particularly for boys?
The job of the dad is, if you want to be something fulfilling, you'd better also be disciplined. And so I'm not going to just tell you follow your dream. I'm going to tell you, here's the boundary. Here, you know, you can't have your ice cream until you finish your peas. Why? So you get the boundary enforcement to develop postponed gratification that allows you to be able to do the things you need to do, not just the things you want to do. And so when there's a lot of dad involvement, both boys and girls tend to have more boundary enforcement and therefore more postponed gratification, and therefore they tend to be more successful and therefore more proud of themselves. And boys especially, when they're not proud of themselves, they tend to withdraw into video game addiction or porn that makes them only less proud of themselves in the long run.
Can you talk about a father's role in terms of establishing boundaries, and why is that so important?
Dads tend to be more willing to enforce boundaries. And then the child learns with the dad to a greater degree that they can't manipulate a better deal with dad Therefore, they have to focus their attention on doing what they have to do. And so children raised predominantly by dads, both boys and girls, are less likely to have ADHD. So, for example, the children raised by predominantly by dads, only 15% have ADHD. Children raised predominantly by moms, 30% have ADHD. And we can see that difference because of the child raised by the dad has to learn to focus. He's rewarded for focusing.
Well, I was surprised to read that dads roughhousing around with their boys is actually key to establishing those boundaries. To me, roughhousing just looks like horsing around. How does that help?
To me, when I roughhouse with the kids, you know, the mom is looking at me like she, you know, I'm some type of, like I'm dangerous, and like she has just one more child to monitor. That roughhousing, for example, was my way of creating a bond with the child, and that my way of being able to make sure the child then listened to the need to be thoughtful of their brother and sister that were roughhousing with me and trying to wrestle and pin me down. For example, my son would, put his elbow in his sister's face in order to be able to be the first one to try to pin me down. And I would say to him, sweetie, you can't do that. And if you do that anymore, there'll be no more roughhousing. And he'd go, okay, Dad, let's go back to the roughhousing. So I'd go back to the roughhousing, and then he would do it again, and I'd stop the roughhousing. Well, the next time I roughhoused, the boy stopped and thought about his sister's needs, not just his own needs. And that's one of the reasons why roughhousing is so, and dad involvement is so related to children being more empathetic to other people. And people who are empathetic try to be are usually much more likely to get friends, and people who have friends are less likely to be depressed and withdrawn. And so part of what I hope we're doing in the boy crisis is to help moms and dads understand that there's about 9 differences, significant differences, between what I call dad-style parenting and mom-style parenting. And the children that do the best have what I call checks and balance parenting. And checks and balance parenting means that mom and dad are engaged with the children consistently. And when there's a problem, like the child wanting to climb a tree that the mom thinks is too dangerous and the dad thinks is okay, learning how to negotiate that difference so that the child gets the most opportunities to take risks, but not risks that will potentially kill him or severely injure him. And that's the balance that needs to happen that doesn't happen when a dad isn't around.
We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more with Warren Farrell and John Gray when we come back in just a minute. If there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling can help. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are specialized in issues such as depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment and get help at your own time and at your own pace. Anything you share is confidential. And it's so convenient, you can schedule secure video or phone sessions as well as chat and text with your therapist. If for some reason you're not happy with your counselor, though, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Kick-Ass News listeners even get 10% off your first month with the discount code KICK. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/kick. Then simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/kick. And now, back to the show. John, can you give an example from your own life of how moms and dads parent differently?
My favorite example is when my wife said to me, "Where are you taking the kids today?" And I said, "Well, I'm just going to take them. I want to bond with them. You know, you can have the day off, you know." This was our agreement. She'd have a day off every week because she was just overwhelmed. She was the primary caretaker of the kids. And so I said, "Look, let me take over." And when we made that shift, she says, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" I said, "No, I'll just take care of them. You don't have to worry about it." she really wanted to know. So I said, okay, well, I'm taking her to Stinson Beach. It's about 30 minutes away from where we live. She then said, well, did you bring jackets? And I said, oh, I forgot. She said, see, that's why you need to tell me. And I said, no, yeah. That's why I don't need to tell you, because we would have gotten to Stinson Beach without those jackets, and I would have solved the problem. So women are really good at avoiding problems, anticipating problems, protecting against problems. That's really a good skill. And it, from my side, I'm really good at solving problems and teaching boys and girls as well, but teaching them how you deal with problems. It's not like the end of the world, you know. Life has always got problems. You want to practice not blaming yourself, self-forgiveness, acceptance of problems, motivation to solve problems, and having confidence that there's always a solution. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to prevent and avoid, but we also want to be able to learn to solve without things disturbing us so much or beating ourselves up for it.
Explain how that helps kids with problem-solving skills.
The situation that John describes actually helps kids solve problems, because if the jackets were provided ahead of time by a thoughtful mom, they don't necessarily, when they get older, think about taking jackets themselves, because that was always taken for them. They get to the beach, mm-hmm. they feel that they're cold and there were no jackets. That registers. They're experiencing the consequences of not thinking ahead of time. And so they're preparing in that regard.
And I wonder, does the lack of a father affect girls differently than it does boys?
Girls also suffer. And one of the ways that they suffer is not being able to do things like having physical contact with men that is non-sexual, being able to sit and be teased by their dad, and learning that as a result of the teasing, that they what's serious, how to laugh at themselves, how to take the hint of a tease to improve before they get criticism directly. All of these things lead to girls having less knowledge about how to make a boy comfortable or a man comfortable. So when they're dating with that less knowledge, they're more likely to feel like the only way I know how to please him, to keep him from going off and straying to another woman, is to be sexual with him. And rather than asking, am I really comfortable about being sexual, or having a whole series of resources as to how to know how to interact with a male in a way that is teasing, that is playful, that is coaching, that is roughhousing, that is having the male challenge me and not just be polite. Those are the things that girls don't know about nearly as much when they don't have a good father figure around, or especially a good biological father around.
And I think you say that we're seeing the results of this in fewer men and women actually getting married to begin with, and an increased inability to form and sustain healthy relationships.
It's twice as many single people as 30 years ago. And not only has divorce rates gone up in terms of second and third marriages, but also what's happening is people just hooking up, staying together for a short period of time and moving on. And they're not able to create that bond, that connection. And that's based upon trust. Trust that when there's challenges and things, you overcome them and you can come back to feeling the connection and the love. That trust grows in your potential ability to create a relationship when, as a little girl or a little boy, you're growing up. And if girls don't have a model of a mother who is trusting a man to be there for her, then girls grow up with the idea that you can't trust others. You have to do it all yourself. And that's just sort of the ingrained modus operandi, you know. So it's like you have to do it yourself, because that's what you've seen over and over. When children get to see mom and dad helping each other, interdependent, working through differences, they have a whole foundation for better relationships in life, and the motivation to have relationships and sustain relationships and to have children and create a family, which we're seeing we're losing that now. And the flip side of that for boys, again, you know, the challenges are there for girls. Don't get us wrong. You know, we totally see it. But, you know, somebody needs to also focus on the boy challenges. And for boys don't have a picture of a man has the power to create a support system for women to be happier. And that's kind of what we're saying is one of the new purposes of a male is how to provide a kind of emotional fulfillment in the family, and particularly for women, how to be there not just as a moneymaker, you know, hard worker, but also to share that responsibility with the woman, but take it to a higher level, which people today want. They want an emotionally fulfilling, often they say passionate relationship. But that takes new skills, new insights, which we explore as well. So what it looks like on a practical level for a little boy growing up is dad has this way of being and interacting that really mom appreciates and mom upholds as so important that dad is here and what a gift he is to her. You know, I got to see that as a little boy growing up, so it gave me this confidence that, you know, I have what it takes to make a relationship work. So at those times when the relationship's not working, it's kind of like, okay, back to the drawing board, figure out how to do this. Dad did it, so I can do it. So there's so many messages that couples used to provide for their children when they had successful relationships. And it's just missing today, and it's a very important part for us to keep the integrity of the family together.
What if, as is often the case, dad might be in prison, or dad bailed and just isn't a very good guy, or maybe mom kicked him to the curb for a good reason? Are boys better off with a not-so-great dad than no dad at all?
If it gets too bad, you know, if the man is abusive or, you know, drives drunk with the child in the front of the car, yes, then the mother needs to look elsewhere. But when a dad isn't around and can't be around in really, you know, in significant cases, then the mom, it's really helpful to get the children involved in Cub Scouts. That's one of the best proven developers of character. Boy Scouts the same way. The Mankind Project is another very good organization that helps thousands of boys become more successful men in a constructive way where the best of masculinity is developed. We also, in faith-based communities, in addition to finding a good faith-based leader, it's also important to find a faith-based leader who knows how to get children of your son's age talking with other children of your son's age and having them reveal what is bothering them and disturbing them. That allows the children to feel like what's bothering me is not a crime, and I'm not somebody that's really that I'm in a group of people that understand me, and that leads to children, boys especially, being less likely to withdraw, be depressed, and get into destructive activities.
What about the role of mentors? If a boy doesn't have a dad around, can some of that role be filled by someone from, say, the Big Brothers program or some other kind of role model who's not a blood relation?
When I did the research for the boy crisis, one of the things I discovered was that mentors help boys a great deal. But what helps boys even more than a mentor is to be a mentor. So one of the things a single mom can do is to help she and her son work together to find somebody at school, usually in a younger grade, that isn't doing that well, that the boy can be a guide to. And when that happens, you know, we're studying, well, why do these boys suddenly blossom when before they had low motivation and they were sort of more occupied and caring about their video games than anything else? And then suddenly the boy turns around. And what it turns out is that the boy starts viewing everything he does through how will this appear to the boy he's mentoring. If I'm addicted to video games, if I'm addicted to drugs, if I steal something, if I don't do well in school, am I a good mentor to this boy? Am I being a good role model? And this is ironically not only more helpful to the boy than being mentored, but it's also a way of helping the boy discover that how to be a father. He doesn't feel so fearful of being a dad because he sees that he is becoming like a dad in the way that he mentors.
John, I know that you've spent much of your career addressing attention deficit disorder. Do you find higher instances of ADD and ADHD in boys than you do in girls?
Well, not just me, but the statistics pan out at least twice as much. And in my experience, much more than twice as much. But the statistics are there. And then when you have autistic spectrum disorder, which is a new challenge in the world, it's five times more in boys. And that's, in my experience and opinion, is more of an exaggerated form of what happens with ADHD. It's brain dysfunction, basically. Something is missing. And what we can trace that back to, and then there's positive solutions. So many non-drug positive solutions.
Yeah. Can you talk about what you see as the problem with drugs like Ritalin and Adderall and what kind of non-drug solutions you might use to treat ADD?
drugs only work temporarily, and they also cause lasting side effects, often called brain damage. I call it brain injury because injuries can be healed, and the brain is amazing for healing itself, provided the right kind of support and the right kind of stimulation. The major stimulator for a child to do something the parent wants them to do is to get the parent's approval. You know, mom loves me, dad loves me, dad's proud of me, I'll get what I need. These are motivators that stimulate dopamine that motivates us, and boys need that motivation even more because they need to make more testosterone in order to function properly. So ADD is inhibited dopamine function. What happens is it used to be that mom's approval, dad's approval would motivate a child, but all you have to do is give a child a video game, give them sugar, give them drugs, give them cocaine. They're all high dopamine stimulators, and porn for teenagers, even bigger dopamine stimulator. When you get this high dopamine stimulation, which even comes from TV and ice cream, when you get that higher dopamine stimulation, the brain desensitizes itself. It says, this is too much. And suddenly you're depending upon the high stimulation to feel pleasure and motivation. And mom and dad in personal relationships really can't provide that high of a dopamine stimulation. So what happens is the brain becomes fixated on finding routes to get high dopamine stimulation and can't be motivated to have attention and focus and interest and pleasure doing normal things. So listening to a teacher teach in class is just boring because it's not directly relevant to what I need now. And so the mind will wander. The mind will become distracted. The mind can become overly emotional and distressed, all because this normal dopamine function is taken away because we're giving our child too much. You can have some, but too much sugar, too much video games, too much porn, too much distraction from the normal things that would stimulate lower levels of dopamine and help the brain come back into balance.
Well, Warren, you're the chair of the White House Council on Boys and Men, which was born out of your efforts when you were on the Council for Girls and Women, and you asked, hey, what about the boys? In a society in which the power dynamics still often favor men over women, was it a hard sell to convince leaders in Washington that boys, and by extension men, are in some kind of a crisis?
It was so hard to sell it that what I chair is the coalition to create a White House Council on Boys and Men. And so we got to the point where we had we were ready to present the idea to President Obama, standing outside the Oval Office, and Valerie Jarrett crossed off this was with the Boy Scouts that this was being done, and everything on the agenda was approved of, but Valerie Jarrett crossed off the proposal to create a White House Council on Boys and Men. So we never got it. You know, many of the people in the White House thought it was a wonderful idea, but it never got to President Obama per se. And so after that, we tried many other routes to get it to President Obama, and none of them succeeded. And so now we're trying the same thing with the Trump administration. So far, none has succeeded. I was on Fox and Friends a few weeks ago talking potentially to Trump, saying, you know, we need to have you do an executive order to call these issues to the national attention. But with that not having worked either, we're now sending some people to New Hampshire and to Iowa to talk to the presidential candidates there.
And what would a White House Council on Boys and Men actually do?
Basically, the purpose of this would be to put on the national agenda that there is a boy crisis, to study it and to get the solutions to it that are needed to make father involvement a cultural shift, going from boys having a sense of purpose from being a warrior on the killing fields overseas to being a warrior in the home, learning how to love rather than learning how to kill.
Where does the education system come into play? Are schools even aware that there's a boy crisis going on? And what should they be doing to address it?
For example, hiring male teachers at a much higher percentage rate. Getting recess is very important to stimulating the desire to be able to, the ability to study. The CDC has now just come out with a study finding that children's participation in recess, minute for minute, pays off more in studying for a test than studying for a test alone. We need much more in vocational education. In Japan, 25 to 30% of the children, mostly boys, are in vocational education programs. And the boys almost all graduate those programs, and then 99.6% of them get jobs afterwards. Whereas in the United States, boys are far more likely to drop out of school, and boys that drop out of high school, 22% of them are unemployed in their 20s, which are primal years. And then when boys' testosterone does not lead to constructive things like employment, it tends to move into gangs, into drug dealing, and other forms of destructive testosterone outlets. So we're trying to look at all these things put together.
But by the time it rises to the level of national policy or even at the school level, isn't it too late? I mean, how do you make up for the failures that happen on the front lines of this crisis right at home? Aren't there certain things that can only come from the family?
When we did the research for the boy crisis, we found that family dinner nights are so important, but many families don't have the tools to prevent family dinner nights from going from family dinner nights to family dinner nightmares. And so, you know, we created the tools for family dinner nights to incorporate everybody at the table talking, everybody at the table listening, knowing how to listen. The single biggest thing that can be done by any person who wants to have a constructive family is learning how to be able to handle the personal criticism without becoming defensive. That is the core Achilles heel of all human beings.
Well, I certainly thank both of you for bringing our attention to this problem. Again, the book is called The Boy Crisis, Why Our Boys Are Struggling and What We Can Do About It. Dr. Warren Farrell and Dr. John Gray, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for your interest, the questions you ask, and your wonderful ability to listen.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Dr. Warren Farrell and Dr. John Gray for coming on the show. One more time, you can order their book, The Boy Crisis, on Amazon, Audible, or wherever books are sold. And you can learn more at boycrisis.org. Keep up with Warren at warrenfarrell.com or on Twitter at Dr. Warren Farrell, and follow John at marsvenus.com or on Twitter at realjohngray. Whatever struggles you're facing, from depression and anxiety to trauma and grief, BetterHelp can connect you with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient, you can schedule secure video or phone sessions, as well as chat or text with your therapist. And anything you share is completely confidential. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Kick-Ass News listeners can even get 10% off your first month with the discount code KICK. So why not get started? Simply go to betterhelp.com/kick and fill out a questionnaire to get matched with a counselor you'll love today. Be sure to subscribe to Kick-Ass News on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. And if you like what you're hearing, then rate and review us while you're there. 5-star reviews are the easiest way for new listeners to find us. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at KickAssNewsPod. And feel free to email me with your thoughts, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. Until next time, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News. Kick-Ass News is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.